In this episode, we review, without spoilers, the true crime and cult docuseries that we've watched recently, from Robin Williams on a Galactic Council to philosophical questions about Gypsy Rose. We've got all kinds of things to discuss.
Let's talk about what intuition really is.
Let's look at all the places intuition and ego show up in your life.
Let's share honestly.
Let's do the research.
I'm Jamie Hayhurst.
I'm Heather Wood.
This is the Intuitive Girls Guide.
Hey, Jay.
Hey.
We are doing a very interesting episode today, and I got to say, I'm very excited about it.
I am too.
I was thinking about this, like, I couldn't sleep a little bit last night, and I was, like, running these through my head.
I did, like, a little refresher on the TV last night.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Smart. So, we're calling this a Siskel and Ebert episode.
If you're old enough to know what that means.
If you have no idea who those people are, just look them up.
Yes.
I don't know which one of us is which.
I was
either.
Just going to say we should have planned this.
I know.
I don't even know who's who, really.
I don't think I could tell you. I think
well, either way.
One of them drops off and the other stays, right?
Yeah. I'm the grumpy, opinionated one.
I think that would really describe both of us. So what we're going to do is we're going to talk about some of the documentaries and docuseries that mm-hmm. we have watched over the past, say, like, year.
Yeah. We allude to them a lot.
And people, so many of our listeners also listen to these and love these. And then people will ask both of us, like, which one, what should I watch next? And we're like, did you watch this one? Did you watch that one?
Or so, they'll send them to us.
Yes.
Yes.
And we love that. Please keep doing that. So we thought we'd do a little review of a lot of the ones that we had to pick because we wouldn't have time to do all of the ones.
Right. And like some are cult and some are crime.
Yes. All have very similar elements, even if it's not considered cult.
Yes.
So we'll talk about that.
Yep.
But true crime and cult documentaries are sort of like, it's like a moth to a flame situation for the two of us.
Yep.
And we've even talked about in one of our episodes about why intuitive people are drawn to that.
Yes, we have.
So if you're intuitive and empathic and you're like, why am I so drawn to that? Go listen to that episode. But like, it's basically that. We always want to run the check of like people getting tricked,
right?
Because we're the people that would buy into it,
right? Because we want to help people,
exactly.
Right. And I actually don't consider myself to be like a real TV watcher.
Yeah.
And then when I was making this list for us, I was like, I've watched a lot of these.
Yeah, I don't think you're as much of a TV show watcher.
Correct.
You're more of a docuseries.
It's this. Or if there's something like this,
you'll watch The Girl Ghostbusters a lot. Yeah.
That's so good.
I also do have to say, if you're watching us, we did coordinate again accidentally.
Yes, we did. Green.
So
last time it was blue.
Yeah, and some of you guys, when we mentioned that last time, said that you and your friends do that by accident all the time too. So I just figured I'd mention it. It happens. Also, if you're watching, Jamie has a new sassy haircut and it's gorgeous.
It's like the new Rachel.
It is. The updated modern Rachel.
Yeah. Well, bangs.
I love it. I love it.
Well, curtain bangs, but yeah.
Okay. Now, the other thing I just want to remind everyone about is when you're like, why do women like to watch true crime?
Mm.
It's because we're the victims of it.
Excellent point.
So same as why intuitive people like to watch cult documentaries. Same reason. We're the victims of it.
Yes.
So
great point.
If you're wondering why you have that trait, that's why.
Yep.
Okay. So I'm going to do my best not to do too much of a spoiler of anything.
Yeah. We talked about this.
Jamie's going to catch me if I do, because I am a spoiler of things just in life.
I wouldn't say that. But I think that a lot of these are really well made. Like, there are a lot of really crappy docuseries about things that I just can't get into them. These ones that we're presenting to you are very well made. They're well done.
Yep.
And they're well told. And so a lot of them are like, you think you know what's happening.
Yeah.
And then you don't.
Yeah.
So
there's a twist.
That's
the surprise.
That's the great part of it. So we don't want to ruin that for anybody.
No. And we're not here to like pick apart anybody's documentary or docuseries. Like, we aren't doing that.
No, no, we're not talking about like the cinematography or
No. I mean, you probably could.
I might a little bit.
But yeah. So this is hopefully this will make you want to go watch it. Or if you have watched it, maybe you'll share some opinions, you know, with how we feel.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing is that Jamie has a very special rating scale
I do.
For these. So tell the people about the punching rating scale.
Yeah, it's the throat punching scale. Because I told you one time, it was when we were watching American Nightmare.
Yep.
And I think I started that and I texted you and I was like, start this immediately.
Yes, yes.
And it, I mean, we'll talk about it.
But yep.
I was like, when we do this episode, I'm going to talk about how many throat punches I want to throw while watching it.
Yes.
So it's like a 1 to 5 I'm going to give it.
Yes. So you're doing that for all of them.
Yes.
Yes.
And that sort of correlates to like how good it is, but also like how frustrating it is.
Don't you think it also correlates to how, not just like frustrating, but like how you could see, you can see this, like the stuff slowly falling apart. Like when yes. the documentary is done really well,
yep.
you're on the ride and you're just like, right. oh, there's another misstep by the police. Oh, there's exactly. you know, why did the family do that? Like
exactly.
that sort of thing.
Yep.
Cause I bet our listeners feel that way too.
I bet.
Okay. Are you ready for the first one?
Yes.
Okay. So this one is Keep Sweet, Pray and Obey. Mm-hmm. It can be found on Netflix. Okay. Yep. So I'll read the little description
yeah.
That Jamie wrote for this. So this
– I just cut and copied it.
Okay, that Netflix wrote yeah, for this and Jamie exactly. copied and pasted onto yeah. my paper for me. This docuseries examines the rise of Warren Jeffs in the Fundamentalist Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints and his shocking criminal case. This one I think you watched a long before I did.
I had to go back and like refresh myself on this one yeah. for actual details of it.
Yes. Yeah. I think I was watching this whilst I was wrapping Christmas presents because
yes.
that's how I get into the Christmas spirit.
like fundamentalism.
Yeah.
Cool.
Okay. This docuseries or documentary was disturbing from the first moment it started.
Yep.
So this one isn't one that you're going to slowly be brought into horror.
No, no, it's like off the rails.
Yes.
To begin with.
Yes.
Yeah.
This, I picture kind of like almost Amish people.
Yes. Well, like, that's why they have to dress like that. They
yes.
be very modest.
So, but it's like time travelers. Like they also have like the poofy hair that I would imagine like fancy ladies on the Oregon Trail would yep. wear. Like it's so, it's really like stepping back in time. I mean, they don't have TVs. They're not allowed. Like there's all kinds of things.
That's the one thing I remembered that really sticks out for me from this. It's not giving anything away. Is that when this one's great because they have a lot of the victims. It's about the FLDS.
Yep.
Like evangelical religion.
Yeah.
Which is actually also part of Shiny Happy People that yep. we're going to talk about.
Yep.
But I'll never forget that one of the victims who's in this documentary, she says that they didn't even know who the president was.
Yeah.
And like, it really speaks to like the isolation that happens when you're a part of a cult mm-hmm. or like a high control group is mm-hmm. that like, you're like, how does this happen? How do you end up here?
Yeah.
Well, if you don't even know like where you are, literally yeah. like where you are in the country,
right.
Like, you don't know who the president is.
Right.
Of course that happens. Like it's,
of course,
you get yes. a real like look into like the operations of a cult, like how like sort of on a wide scale, how a cult like this works.
Yes.
And how everyone's tricked and then starts buying into it.
And in this one, it was really evident of like the generational like cycling of
yes.
this
being born into it.
Yeah. I mean, we've talked about that with like Scientology and some yep. of the other cults we've talked about, but like this one was like, oh, there have been like 5 or 6 generations of people being raised
right.
in this kind of environment
right.
only.
Yep.
So to think like, how would you know any different?
Exactly.
When you're isolated, you're not exposed to
you
anything
wouldn't.
Else and you don't have a choice to leave. And your whole life, especially as a woman in one of these,
yep.
this is a cult. I'm not going to call it
oh,
religion.
It's absolutely
yeah.
a cult.
In one of these cults, you're taught from the moment you're born that you are property,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah.
Your mother is treated like property.
Yeah.
So you're there's no way, like, how would you ever go, no, I'm not.
That's literally all you know. You're not going to school. You're no. not out in public. You're not socializing with
right.
people outside of this group. It's
yeah.
literally all you know.
And you're punished if you disobey.
Yeah.
So the whole keep sweet,
pray
and obey. But yep. the keep sweet part is the creepiest part to me
mm-hmm.
because that's what they would tell the girls all the time. And they would have to sing songs like that. And they would have like sweet voices and never protest or never say anything. Warren Jeffs was not the only bad guy in this. There's a lot of bad guys, but he clearly takes the evil to another level.
Yes.
But I was very disturbed by how many people, even the people who had escaped, sort of was like, it was fine before him, though.
Yes, exactly.
A lot of the men especially had that attitude of like, oh, it was fine before he took
over. Well, because they got to have 10 wives. Yeah. Literally 10 wives. I mean, and like the girls here are like, they're getting married.
Yeah.
At like 13, having babies at like 14, 15. Like,
and not told anything about sex until they're basically being raped.
Exactly.
They have no idea what it, like, they don't know anything about it. There's not a warning. There's not a talk of what's going to happen. So the trauma.
Yeah, it's rough.
I found it just really upsetting before Warren Jeffs took over.
Right.
So when he did it, it.
Yep.
I think the thing that with Warren Jeffs that made him even more of a bad guy was that he wasn't hiding the stuff he was doing, where I think his father and grandfather and all the leaders before him were a lot sneakier.
Right. And but that's how he ended up getting in trouble.
Yes.
Right.
He was also stealing all the money.
And, of course.
Yeah.
Of
also, course. You, a man could only go to heaven if he had at least three wives. Do you remember that part?
Yep.
That's...
That's worthy of three throat punches.
So I will
throat punches.
I will also say that the underaged girls who were being forced to have sex in this docuseries, you learn, were videotaped, and there's audio of it, and that's always how these motherfuckers get caught.
Well, because
they get blazoned like this.
Yeah, exactly. They don't like they're too big.
Yeah,
for themselves. Like you know.
So this one. Highly recommend. The matter is disturbing, but it's done in a way that you'll be disturbed, but there's nothing graphic. You don't see anything or hear any audio. I mean, you hear just hearing Warren Jeffs talk is creepy, but other than that, like, so I think you'd be okay.
Just knowing Warren Jeffs is in it, you're not going to be surprised by what you're hearing here. It's graphic, but it's not like it's just as bad as you think he's going to be.
They do a good job giving you a real picture into the life of these people, women and men, and they talk about it. And even the ones that are out, you can still see a lot of the brainwashing there as they try to struggle out of it. But like I feel in most of these, with some exception, we'll talk about that. It's always the women who should have no ability to know that there's something better or something wrong or whatever, to be too scared to have that have no education. It's always them that rise up and get the hell out and then take it down.
Exactly.
And so there's that happens in here. And I think that that's no secret if you've ever heard of it. I don't think that gives it away. Yeah, right. No. Like that to me is like the icing on the cake. Like I can watch the horror if that's
because you exactly. Right.
So you'll be amazed at that.
Yeah.
You'll be like, go women.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. Number two.
This is a good one.
I'm still reeling from this one.
This is one we have to be careful not to ruin because it's told so well.
It's done so well. So it's American Nightmare.
Yep.
So I'll read you the description. After a harrowing home invasion and kidnapping in 2015, a couple is accused of staging the ordeal when the woman reappears in this true crime docuseries.
It's on Netflix.
It's on Netflix. It's fantastic.
One of our listeners commented on a post of ours asking about another documentary in this one. And I was like, I have not seen that one. Yeah. So I went and watched it.
Yeah.
Hoo-wee.
Yeah. It's a ride.
I mean, it's so well done. Like the first episode ends and you're like, oh, I know exactly these assholes. And then the second one starts and you're like,
yeah,
wait a minute. What?
You keep completely changing your mind of what happens. It's done so, so well. I will tell you, you'll be angry at the police the whole time, but that's every one of
these. This is five throat punches. I'm going to say like the police and the FBI in this case in particular, absolutely egregious.
Yeah.
So I don't know if we've ever talked about this on an episode before, but like you and I first started talking about it when we were listening to Crime Junkies.
Yes.
And how... And me being a criminal justice major.
Yes. And Crime Junkies is an amazing podcast. I'm sure you've heard of it.
Of course you
have. But if you haven't or you haven't listened, you should.
It's so good.
Yeah.
But you and I noted this pattern on Crime Junkies that like, and Ashley will talk about it on that podcast, that like the police are so quick you know, it's called confirmation bias.
Yep.
But they'll create a theory.
Yeah.
And then all their police work is focused on proving that theory.
One theory. Yeah.
Not actually finding out what happened. Mm-hmm. And as Ashley Flowers tells the story in Crime Junkies, or as you watch something like this, you're watching the police like go to this target that's over here.
Yeah.
But the true story is actually in the complete opposite direction.
And it's at the expense of the victim. Always.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so this case in particular,
it showcases this.
So egregious how the police behaved in this. Like people died. People were hurt and harmed. Yeah. Yeah. It didn't have to be.
Yeah.
Because the police were so sure of themselves when they were wrong the entire time.
And in this case, it was because of a movie that had recently come out. I'm not going to say which one because I don't want to spoil anything. But there's a movie that has recently come out before this case that they just, for some reason, assume is a complete parallel to this.
They're like, oh, they're copycatting that movie.
It's so weird. It's so strange.
This is where I came up with the throat punch.
This caused the throat because punch I was. System. This I is all of them, right?
This furious. Is five. This is five.
Yeah.
I was furious. Like the last, I think it was like 3 or 4 episodes in this one. And the last couple episodes, I was just like literally like talking out loud to the TV.
Yeah.
I was so frustrated.
There's another woman hero in this one, which is the woman cop. So the rest of the cops, like, no.
It's not a coincidence.
Yeah.
That the one cop that we feel like, oh my God, you actually did your job. You did the right thing. You followed your instinct, your intuition.
Uh-huh.
She says intuition.
She does multiple times.
And I'm like, of course it's the woman.
It's the woman cop. I mean, this is really dorky to share. Mm. But we were watching it simultaneously.
Yes, exactly.
In our separate homes.
Yeah.
Texting each other the whole time we were watching it. And every time the woman cop came on and was being amazing, we were just like Haley. I can't remember her name right now, but I'll find it and post it. She was great. What a hero. What a hero. Again, women heroes.
I want to have the woman from this on the podcast.
And the cop. I want both of them to come on.
Oh, yes.
Denise.
Yes.
And the cop. I would like them both to come on our podcast. Shout out, please.
Yeah. Hey.
Hey. We love you.
Yeah. So this was a great one.
Great ride.
Yep.
You'll keep changing your minds and you'll go in between sort of seeing it from the cop's perspective, seeing it from the media's perspective, seeing it from, you know, the family's perspective. They do a really good job of that.
They do.
Okay. This next one, the level of stress I feel just mentioning it. We mentioned this. Jeez. This is Love Has Won. We mentioned this in another podcast and I got so many messages from it. People who watch this one. Okay.
It's
this
so bad.
Can be found on Hulu, Max, and Prime.
Yep.
So take your pick. Pick your poison.
Just watch it. Literally.
Okay. Here's the description. Amy Carlson led the obscure religious group Love Has Won, a mix of new age spirituality, conspiracy theories, and mainstream religion that ex-members and media outlets branded a cult.
Okay. It's a cult.
Of course.
But you want to know what I was yelling the whole time I was watching this?
Drugs?
No.
Oh.
I was yelling, this is why people hate us.
Oh, yeah.
This documentary is the reason why people like hate intuitive people.
Intuitive people.
Like why they're judgy of intuitive people. Yeah. Like why they hate intuition people. It's because of the people, and not just her, not just Amy.
Nope.
Everyone
involved.
That was in this cult.
Yep. Yeah.
And again, I don't want to give it away.
I know.
But this has one of the most shocking beginnings. Like, talk about like well done.
Yeah.
They use a cop's like body cam.
Yeah, it's real footage.
It's real footage.
You were like, how dare you? How did you not warn me? What? Because I started watching it first.
Glad you didn't. It was outrageous.
Yeah.
I'm not going to say another word about it, but if you're going to watch Love Has Won, just pay attention. The opening scene.
Yeah. Like don't be getting a snack when it first starts. You won't have a moment to eat during the whole thing. Cause you'll be so disturbed. I mean, even the beginning of the second episode,
what was that?
Where they introduced the other character.
Oh,
father.
Yes. Oh my God.
Jeez. Yeah.
It's like every stereotype.
Yeah.
About intuitive people. It's like every like cheesy, corny website.
They even create like an MLM selling colloidal silver, I think, right? Like in other products. Like it's all there. It's all there. It's like, it's real. And it's like someone wrote a movie, like using all of the like stereotypes.
Like I would have said it, like it wouldn't be believable if someone was like, here's this script of this, this story. I'd be like, oh, that's too far.
That's not real. Yeah.
And it 1000% happened.
And they documented it. And you could watch it.
Well, because that's what we always say is that when someone's in charge of a cult, they're a narcissist.
Yeah.
On some level, for some reason, they're a narcissist. Yeah. So they want themselves documented. Mm-hmm. It was the fall of Keith Raniere. Mm-hmm. It's the fall of Amy Carlson here. Mm-hmm. Like it's the fall of all these people.
Warren Jeffs.
Yep. Because you think that someone's going to be like writing some Bible about you after you die, right? Like your version of a Bible. Like we want to have all these archives.
Yeah.
But you're really just so fucking narcissistic.
Yeah. It's like that
you have to have the camera on you all the time.
You think you're Jesus. It's that whole thing. Yeah.
Oy.
This one, I'm going to warn you one thing about this one. You don't leave going like there's hope in the world.
Correct.
You leave being sad because there are people that are still in this cult and in the end of the documentary are still very pro all this stuff. Where
like we could probably go online right now and find them.
Yeah, and they're all like MAGA.
Live streaming.
They're all MAGA Trumpy people.
Well.
Yeah. But I feel like most of the ones I'm always like at the end, there's a hero.
Right. No, you leave feeling like this wasn't bad enough for you to let go of this.
Yeah.
Like, then what would actually be bad enough?
Yeah.
The ending of this is so bad.
Yeah.
Like, what would actually be bad enough to get you to let go of this?
Yeah. The ending of this documentary is so disturbing. Mm-hmm. The whole thing is disturbing. It's just, you're going to, the whole time you're going to be like, this can't be real.
Yes.
This can't actually be happening.
Yep.
And every time you're watching it, you'll get to the part like, this must have been what Heather and Jamie were talking about. Yep. And then you're going to be like, no, this is going to be, we're talking about all of it because that's your experience when you watch this.
Yep.
So watch this at a time where you don't need like some sort of uplifting ending.
No, or you don't need to be calm.
No. How many throw punches?
I don't know.
This?
Because this wasn't like, I wasn't frustrated with police. They're actually maybe kind of the good guys here that like, not really, but like I mean, anyone was going to be a good guy.
I think the throat punches, I don't think this spoils. Dr. Phil.
Yes. I forgot that part. Yes.
In the family of Amy.
Yep. So let's say 4. Okay. And Amy herself, like I wasn't rooting for Amy. I don't know if I was supposed to be, but I wasn't.
No.
Okay.
No, not for a second.
Yeah.
No. Okay. All right. Bad Vegan.
Yes.
This is from Netflix as well. So here's the description. After marrying a mysterious man who claimed he could make her dog immortal, a celebrated vegan restaurateur finds her life veering off the rails.
And the guy was from Massachusetts, by the way.
He sure was. I know.
I was like,
I know the exact town. In fact, they didn't have to tell me where he was from. I heard him talk and I knew exactly where he was from.
Exactly. His accent.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't even, this one is another journey.
Yep.
And this one will sort of leave you, you'll experience this the whole time, but you'll be left with the feeling of like, I don't really think I know what happened. I don't think I fully understand the main character here. I mean, character, it's real, but.
No, yeah, she's real. But I feel like a documentary is doing a good job if you spend some of your time changing your mind.
Yes.
Like if it's showing enough perspectives and enough sides of what's happening, like I remember watching that. I think I watched it a while ago, but I remember watching them and like being like, oh my God, like she, like, wow, she was really taken advantage of. Yeah. And then like a little while later, I'd be like, what was
Wait
she
a minute.
Thinking?
Yeah.
How could she do that? Like, you know, like it's, you really run the gamut of like how you see her.
Yeah.
And she's not fully the victim here.
No. And I think that was what I struggled with this one was like, she is a victim in this of many things.
Yes.
But she's also like, she also does bad things herself.
Mm-hmm.
So there wasn't a lot of remorse from her.
Right.
There were, and I'm not sure that I can fully say that about her character, because like I don't know what they chose to show on the documentary or not. I did go after we watched that and like listened to her. She was on Sarah Edmondson's that's a little culty or whatever it is.
Yeah,
she was on her podcast and I listened, mm-hmm. thinking like, let me just hear her talk.
Yeah,
and she still kind of wasn't.
Interesting.
Yeah, and she did say like she wasn't fully happy with the documentary. Like she did say that, but like I feel like that could have been a good moment for you to like sort of correct yourself a little bit, or to say like, I just want to say I'm sorry for my role in it.
Right.
Like, I don't know, maybe I'm holding her to too high of a standard, and that standard being Leah Remini.
Well, yeah.
Okay. But it's like
a high bar.
But even not even like then go out and try to take something down, but like,
right.
I feel like with Leah, you can see someone who, like, Leah was clearly tricked. She was clearly the victim. She was raised in a cult. Exactly. But, like, the fact that she brought people in, you could tell she really struggled with.
And, she did.
And, like, she talked about that. And now, does it, just because she, does this person doesn't, the bad V, and doesn't talk right. about it, doesn't mean that she doesn't feel that way. But you're sort of left with this feeling of, like, you want to feel bad for her.
Yep.
But you have a little trouble.
Yeah.
That's the best way I can
really
do
empathize
it.
With her fully.
And it's, I think what's so wild about this one is that this is a like semi-famous, very successful, beautiful
woman in Manhattan.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Like I would say famous like in the restaurant world.
Yep.
And for her to be taking advantage of the person that she is taking advantage of is part of how wild the whole thing is.
Well, it's that classic story of like, you never know what someone's struggling with in their own lives.
Yep.
Like, their life can look one way on the outside.
Yep.
I think her life looked one way to everybody.
Yep.
And then what was actually happening behind closed doors was very different.
Very true.
You know?
I mean, there's even a whole weird parallel to Alec Baldwin in this.
Yes. I forgot about that.
There's
yes.
so many strange
yep.
elements in this one.
Yeah.
Yes, the guy does tell her he's going to make her dog immortal. No, I can't really tell if she ever believed that. I think she did. But the doubts you have are part of what makes this documentary really great, I think.
Yeah. And I found myself really frustrated with like seeing the kind of scraps that women will take from men
mm-hmm.
and what they'll buy from yeah. people just yeah. because they want to be loved
mm.
or paid attention to. Like
yeah.
I could see myself, you know, I can understand that.
Yeah.
But watching it as an outsider, you're like, dude, you deserve so much more. Like,
yeah. And it shouldn't be more shocking when it's a successful, beautiful,
right.
rich woman. But it is.
It kind of is, yeah.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Because right. it's like, but you have all of this. Like,
right.
Yeah, so it's an interesting one for sure. Yeah. I would say this one's very different than the other ones. It is very culty, but it's one person being manipulated.
Yes.
So it's,
yeah, exactly.
it's interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, I think we should take a quick break.
Okay.
And then come back with the one that you've had to coach me what not to say several times.
Okay.
On.
We'll be right back after this short break.
Hey y'all, it's Jamie with a little shameless self-promotion. We've had a lot of people reaching out asking about distal Reiki, so I wanted to let you all know that yes, you can book a session with me. If you'd like some distance Reiki, get in touch with me and we will set it up for you.
You know what goes great with podcast listening?
A great cup of coffee from a great coffee shop.
Yep, beans roasted in-house, amazing baristas. You know where I'm talking about.
Restoration Coffee. Can we go?
Yes, I need an Americano and maybe a panini too.
Ooh, I need blueberry maple latte and probably a resto bowl.
Ooh, yeah. Check them out and visit restoration-coffee.com.
This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
let's talk about what we're obsessed with this week.
All right, Heather. I'm obsessed. Hold on. Okay. With Taylor Swift.
Right. That's obviously, not new information.
Yeah. Obviously.
Right.
But I'm obsessed with what I'm seeing just as of very recently, as of recording, which is now like post-Grammys.
Yep.
Pre-Super Bowl.
Yep.
Okay. So we're right in that mix.
Yep.
I'm concerned with how easily divided Americans are.
I mean,
and I know this is your thing.
No. Usually it's not my thing. It's something that makes me worried all the time.
Right. Yeah. And usually Heather will say, and she said it on episodes before, like, why do we have to be so divided? Like, people should like come together. And I'm usually like, no, I'm not, I'm divided.
Yeah.
I don't want to come together with people on that side.
Yeah.
Because we're usually talking about like more serious things.
And there's a difference between agreeing and supporting.
Right.
And being divided. Like, I'm not saying you should go, oh, that person's a murderer, let's go be friends with them.
Right.
No.
Right.
Everything's so polarized that everyone has to be on a team. And it's like, for what?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Okay. And I feel like we're seeing this sort of polarization of, do you hate Taylor Swift? Do you love her? Do you love Taylor Swift or do you love Beyonce? And I think we're getting lost.
Yeah.
Like, I'm seeing so much on social media of like Taylor's fans refusing. Like, so now there's this controversy about Taylor Swift with her private jets and people looking into that.
Yeah.
And we've gotten to the point where it's like, Taylor is never wrong. Taylor is never to be held accountable.
Yes.
And I don't even think Taylor Swift would say that.
I don't think so.
But it's like her fan base
is
now just like moving in packs, like against anything that they think is like defaming her.
Yeah. So that there can't be any criticism or whatever of her.
Right.
If you do that, then you're not a fan.
Exactly.
And that, as we know, is very dangerous.
It's very dangerous.
That's like the height of polarization. You've lost the plot completely. Right. Yes.
So that's like, I'm just worried about it. Like, I see, I see Black women on the internet very like rationally and intelligently saying like, hey, why does Taylor Swift have all these Grammys, or why does she have all this, or why does she have all that?
Yeah.
What about Beyonce? Like, she had this tour, she had this, that, like, just drawing comparisons and like making you look at like, where's the white supremacy in this?
Yeah.
And like, spoiler alert, it's everywhere. It's, it's in the whole fucking conversation.
Yeah.
But the instant outrage at those women, it's like, it's so unproductive.
Yeah, you're right. It's so unproductive. And it's not actually doing, if what you're doing is being like a ultimate fan and supporter of Taylor Swift, you're not actually supporting her by just blindly defending and like creating enemies with anyone who says anything.
Right.
I think what's amazing about Taylor Swift's cultural, there's a lot amazing about Taylor Swift, but culturally, is that she brings all kinds of subject matter to light, because everyone wants to talk about every single motherfucking thing that she does.
Right.
And she allows it. Like, she promotes that. Like, it, so if Taylor's involved, I mean, people were mad that she was standing and singing for stuff. They're mad that she doesn't react enough to something. Like, so it makes conversation all the time.
Yep.
And so it's really a missed opportunity, no matter. I mean, we're both clearly Taylor Swift fans.
I am.
But you're really, it's really stupid, to be honest, to not then go, well, let's look at this through this lens of someone who's shining a light on all of these things for us. And that's ridiculous.
And just because you like someone's songs or their music doesn't mean that they don't benefit from the systems in place in this country.
Yeah.
Taylor Swift benefits from white supremacy.
Right.
I mean, does she struggle with misogyny and sexism?
Absolutely.
Of course she does.
Right.
But as a white woman, is she in a more privileged place? Of course she is.
And this is why people hate feminism.
Right.
Because it's in defense of Taylor.
Right.
and not going like, well, what else is going on?
Exactly.
Even the conversation around like Jay-Z saying the stuff about Beyonce, there's misogyny in what people are criticizing him for.
Yeah.
Because they're like, well, Beyonce has more Grammys than blah, 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 blah. She just have one in this category. Like, right. And he's saying this and like, he disrespected her. Why is he, you know what I mean? And I'm like,
exactly.
Ooh, you don't even hear the racism and misogyny that exactly. you just layered into that.
Exactly.
So it's, I think I'd like to give some advice to white women.
Mm-hmm. And let's hear it.
Okay. When you feel triggered
yep.
by something like this, close your mouth.
Always.
Close it. Just zip.
Always.
Zip. And think about it for mm-hmm. 2 hours
yes.
minimum
yep.
before you approach somebody who you know is safe, not the internet. We don't go to the internet to say it and say, can we talk this out? I'm having a little trouble with this, to someone before you decide to make content and put out into the world bullshit racism and misogyny.
Exactly.
Stop doing the patriarchy's job for it because you're triggered. It's okay to be triggered.
Yes.
Just shut your mouth.
Right. Because the trigger is the place where you need to do the unlearning.
Yes.
And you know what? That's where you work.
If you are going at it through ego only, then you're trying to decide if you're right or you're wrong.
Right.
And like you said before, we've lost the plot if we're there.
Right. And then like the broader scope of this is that we're now like, it's that like we're being pitted against each other, that polarization, when there's like genocides happening on the globe. Like there's other things happening. Not that we're not supposed to look at the white supremacy and the misogyny that's in these conversations. We should be looking at them. But when you're like, you're going to battle for Taylor Swift, you could be going to battle for Palestine.
Exactly.
You know,
but that's also by design.
Correct.
The media is like, let's really make a lot of, let's pit Taylor Swift and Beyonce against each other.
Right.
Or Taylor Swift and Celine Dion because Taylor didn't hug her in the way you thought. I know. Like, it's so, like, if you've got to see through it when that starts happening.
Yeah.
It's really frustrating. So maybe every time you get really caught up in celebrity drama, I'm not saying there's not important conversation in it, but maybe every time you feel caught up in that, you take a step back and you look at like how people are suffering in the world, like like Palestinians or there's many.
Yeah.
And you go like, let me put some of my attention towards that.
Exactly.
And maybe that will start to pull people away from that polarization.
Exactly.
Yeah. All right. Next up, like I said before, the one that you had to coach me on.
Have many people watched this one, I wonder?
I don't know. I think, did I find this one? I don't remember.
I think someone may have said it on our Instagram page, actually.
Okay. I also get, like, once you start watching all of these, you get, like, suggested ones. And I usually just watch those. So, okay. This one is Escaping Twin Flames. It can be found on Netflix.
Yeah.
Here is the description. A couple built a spiritual business to help people find true love. Now, former followers are sharing their disturbing practices in this docuseries.
Mm-hmm.
That's a real undersell of what this journey is.
It's not, it doesn't even actually like, it's not even the tip of the iceberg.
No. I mean, talk about, like we said before with Love Has Won, where this is why people hate us.
Yes. Oh my God.
This is also in that category.
This one I don't think is done as well, like in the storytelling.
Yeah.
No offense, but like, I don't know. I liked it a lot.
Yeah.
I mean, just the premise gets 5 throw punches from me. Like, shocking. It's shocking. But yeah.
This one is much more, you don't really sort of go along the story and like discover things.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you kind of do, but it's much more like the people who were in it are telling their stories of being in it, which is also very great and fascinating.
Yeah.
So it's just formatted different.
Yes. The format's different.
And so you don't feel, the things that happen are shocking, but they don't feel as left field. Like, oh my God, like you aren't on someone's side and not the whole time you're kind of like against these two people who are the couple leading this cult. They take the idea of twin flames. We have a whole episode on that if you'd like to listen. But they take it and, I mean, they've clearly done no research into any of it. They clearly didn't watch our episode or listen to our episode.
No, they didn't.
They just took a concept that, and we talk about this in the twin flame episode, where no one actually looks into the origin or what it is or who, like, I bet you they couldn't tell you who coined the term.
No.
And they run a business in quote fingers because it's a cult.
It's like an MLM also.
Yeah. They run this with this concept. Mm-hmm. So it's really, it's like, that gives me a lot of throat punches.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not on the scale today, like that immediately. No.
Yes.
You've done no research. You don't even pretend to know what you're talking about, yet you've done a whole business. Like, it's that thing where people, I learned about twin flames. Cool. I'm not going to actually do anything other than repeat and regurgitate the one from one person who taught me about it.
Correct.
I'm not going to look into the history. Nothing.
You can tell that from the beginning, like this guy, it's the guy, he's the real bad guy. I mean, the woman is too, but you can, they also show like where she was twisted and manipulated and turned around.
Right.
Also, but you can tell that he's just swinging at anything he can to make money.
Oh yeah. Like, and they show that in the beginning.
Like anything he can do to make a buck.
Yeah. But what they do to their followers / customers.
Yeah.
Is so disturbing. I mean, this is where you had to coach me not to say anything.
I would love for you to be able to say what happens, but
I'm not going to.
But I really feel like as I was watching it, it was like,
it was baffling.
Yeah. Like that was like one of the, not the best parts of it, but like the way the story was told.
Yes.
I never thought it was going to go in the direction. Yeah. I never thought it was going to go as far as it went. Let's say that.
Yes.
It went far.
Because you're kind of surprised that these two people, usually the cult leaders, they don't have to be attractive, but they have a lot of charisma. Like I'm thinking of Keith Raniere. Mm. He's nothing. Yeah. But like he had a presence.
Yes.
Okay.
He was I think in person he was compelling.
Yes. These people aren't.
No.
So I think there's something to that where you're like, I feel like you can see that this guy is such a slime ball just by looking at him.
Yeah.
I know that's mean.
No.
But this is a bad person, so I don't feel that bad.
No.
So when these people are brought so far into such damaging, non-reversible life decisions. It's shocking.
Yes.
And it's really it's preying on people who are very desperate to find love. And I don't mean desperate in a mean way. I just mean like they've gone through things and they are just really in a vulnerable place.
Well, that's what I was going to say is a lot of this is, a lot of this was done like over Zoom calls. Like they had Zoom meetings and there's like, I think they're Facebook messengers or some type of messenger. So you have a lot of you see a lot of the correspondences or the meetings or whatever. And you can tell that these people, they are desperate. Like that they're chosen for a reason. Like this really highlights a lot of the things we talk about in our cult episodes. Like that, like you choose people who are lonely.
Yeah.
You choose people who are vulnerable.
Yeah.
And then you isolate them.
Yeah.
And then you browbeat them.
You love bomb them.
You love bomb them, and then you browbeat them.
And then you browbeat them.
And that's, you can see this happening. Like, they didn't see it happening.
No, 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 no.
But as you're watching it, you're like, oh God, here we are. We're at the love bombing stage. Like, you can see it happening.
Yes. And it's, so once you know that pattern, when you start watching these, you're like,
here we are.
This is going to be trouble.
Yep.
Yeah. I think another thing that really bothered me about this one, there's a lot. But there's really also the element of like the guise of self-development.
Yes.
And I think a lot of people in the intuitive world are susceptible to this because when you start going in and doing the work of like your own vows and your own beliefs and your own stuff, and you sort of trust someone to walk you through that, that's a very vulnerable position to be in.
Yes.
Right?
100%.
So it makes me, I can feel my eyes tearing up. It makes me, as somebody who feels very privileged to get to do that with people.
Right.
And feels like I don't, I worry about people all the time that I've talked to. And I feel so much responsibility to be careful with people mm-hmm. and to like, for someone to let you in like that.
Yes.
And to share that with you and give you sort of the honor mm-hmm. of being able to walk with them through that. I know what that took from that person.
Right.
I know how much bravery that took. I know what they had to face. I know they had to like fight all kinds of walls and stories they've put to not look at shit.
Yes.
And so for someone like these two people who have no training, no knowledge, no understanding, no care to do that to these people, not well either. I watched how they did it.
No, right.
And then take advantage in that, like pounce at that state.
Right.
That is so, it's so infuriating.
Yes.
It's so sad.
Because it's the opposite of what someone who's intuitive it should be doing.
And it makes people see stuff like this and go, I'm never going to do that. I'm never going to be mm-hmm. in a group like that. Or, you know, and it's right. like, oh, because there right. are really like, there's so many great groups and so many positive things that you can do that like it makes it extra infuriating.
Yeah. And I think to that point, like, I believe it happened in this show, but also in The Love Has Won mm-hmm. where you have people who say they're intuitive and say that they're getting downloads and say that they're getting, you know, spiritual information like through mediumship or however they're doing it, they're lying.
Yeah.
Like they're lying just to keep you in.
I mean,
just to keep you bought in. Right. But like, you know, that's actually a real thing. People do get downloads. People can like intuitively know something, but to see it used like this to harm people,
it's infuriating.
It's infuriating.
I mean, can I jump back to The Love Is One? Cause it just made me think of something.
Yes.
Okay. You can tell me if I need to cut this from the episode, but
okay.
If someone tells you they're getting spiritual download advice from Robin Williams, the comedian,
R.I.P.
Please walk away.
I mean,
this is why, and I'm not trying to make fun of people who are receiving this and believing it.
No,
I'm trying to tell people, like, I know that's an extreme version and it's kind of laughable, but like people believe things and they think that's how it works.
No, they talked about him on like a first name basis. Like, oh, we heard from Robin today.
Yeah.
Like, could as someone, as a medium, tap into the energy of Robin Williams because he's spirit, like he's died. Yes, you could do that. That I don't have a problem with.
Yeah.
But for you to say that like Robin Williams is like your galactic
council.
Yes.
He's going to come in a spaceship and get you.
And he's like talking to you every day. Come on.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
But and so you hear that extreme, right? And you think like, oh, of course you wouldn't believe that. But what you don't see is what they're selling you to that point.
Yeah, it's layered. It's getting built in. It's baked into the whole entire environment.
Yeah.
So by the time this crazy thing happens, and it's not just the Robin Williams thing, you see it in all of these documentaries.
Yeah.
You also see it in your real life in abusive mm-hmm. relationships.
Oh, yes.
Like, you're like, how toxic, did that person abusive, fall for that?
Friendship, romantic, employer, like exactly. all of them.
You're like, how did you take that? Why didn't you say anything? Why did you believe that? Because it's not the first time it's happened. Yeah. All of this manipulation and control has been baked in.
Yep.
It's been building up.
Yep.
And then by the time this crazy thing happens, it's not that crazy.
Exactly.
When you're on the inside.
We've talked about this a million times, but if you haven't watched The Vow, I would say that's got to be our favorite of all of these because it's done so well.
So well.
Because you'll see this, like exactly what you're describing, the slow walk and build.
Yep.
So if you haven't seen that, definitely prioritize that one. But I also want to say with this, to your point, in the Escaping Twin Flames, eventually this guy claims to be Jesus.
Yeah, of course.
Right.
I mean. You're either Archangel Michael or you're Jesus.
Or Robin Williams.
Or Robin Williams. Who do you want to be?
So, yeah. Like, but, so that's ridiculous. And when you first got into the cult and first, or the business or whatever you want to call it, and you met him, he doesn't introduce himself as Jesus.
No.
He slowly gets you there to believing it.
Yeah, exactly.
But what they convince these people to do as, in my opinion, shitty manipulators is beyond.
I mean, it's criminal. I mean, I think it's criminal.
It is.
What happened?
Ugh.
Okay.
So go watch that one.
Watch it. And then when you get to the part that we're alluding to, send you'll us a know message it when you're about there. It.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. All right. Shiny Happy People is on Prime.
Yep.
The description for this is exposing the truth behind the wholesome American surface of the Duggar family.
Wholesome.
Ugh. There's nothing wholesome here. This is very, not similar to Keep Sweet No Bay, but similar religious backgrounds.
Yes. Okay. LDS. Yeah.
Yes.
We talked about this in one episode.
We talked about it in an Obsessed segment. I don't remember. I don't know. But so this is the Duggars. If you don't remember the TV show, there was a TV show. Both you and I talked about how we didn't actually like watch the show, but we had seen the show. Like it would come on back in the day before you chose what to watch. You just watched what was on TV. Right, so it would come on. Was it TLC or Lifetime or whatever? It would come on after probably What Not to Wear or something else that I was really enjoying watching.
Right.
And this would come on.
Yeah.
And so you'd see a little bit of it.
Yeah.
So I remember not knowing how disturbed to be when I watched it, but I remember being very, as a youngish person, I think I was in my 20s when this was out, early 20s, being disturbed by the voice Michelle Duggar used.
Yes.
It was clearly like a fakey, weird voice. So when you, so if that's all you know, man, you're in for a wild ride.
Oh, what's happening behind the scenes in this shiny, like behind this family, the religion, which is a cult, like it's so
problematic. Scary. It's really scary because it's sort of a little bit Scientology-esque in it. There's so much, so many powerful people and so much money behind it that you know it's going to keep going for a while. And that, like, we can shut down, like, the Twin Flames people and the Love is One people.
Yep.
But things like this with, like, the guise of religion behind it that have this much money and power and clearly people at the top.
And it's also one of those things where, because it's a religion, there are so many people across this country that are probably practicing this FLDS.
Yeah.
At like a, probably a, I wouldn't say benign, but like a less harmful level. Like they're just like doing this. They're like probably not great to their spouses or their kids. Like there's a different level of it. But this, like inside this, like when it gets real deep, you're at like, you're at cult levels. I mean, it's bad in there.
I mean, you're fully a cult. There's no, but the, what you're referring to is like the real scary criminal behavior.
Right.
Yeah.
But there's other people on the periphery that are like, oh no, I just go to church on Sunday. I practice this, but I'm not trafficking children or like laundering money or raping my sister.
Yeah.
Right. You know what I'm saying? Like,
But they teach you, Jamie, that it's an honor to have been raped.
Exactly.
You were chosen by God for that.
They do teach you that.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. There's a lot of stuff about Josh Duggar in this one, which is interesting and his stuff, but it's not all about that case. So if you're like, I don't want to hear about that, it really is about, there is part of it dedicated to that because it is an important part.
Right.
But the head guy, so creepy.
Yeah.
Creepy brother. Do you remember the brother? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like there's so many elements to this that I really do think you should watch it. Cause if you sort of kind of feel yourself slipping into the place of like, well, people can practice whatever they want. I might not agree with that religion, but like you shouldn't speak out about stuff like this. Then watch this and tell me if you have the same opinion. Cause this is why we wave the red flag.
Yeah. And this you'll see like when we talked about how you can start to see the pattern of it.
Yeah.
This one fully illustrates how there's always a moment when I'm watching one of these where I'm like, oh, there's the money.
Yeah.
There's always a moment where you're like, why is this happening? Like you're manipulating, you're harming, you're coercing, you're isolating. And then there's the money. There's always money behind it. You can say it's God. You can say it's enlightenment. You can say it's whatever you want to say it is.
Right.
It's always money.
It's always money. And it's always with the threat that if you don't do what these people say, you will burn in a fiery, tortury, sweaty place.
Right. But the bad guys, they always want money.
It's always. I mean, that's patriarchy and capitalism.
And control of women.
Right.
Name one that doesn't have that.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? Like, right. Those two things are always there. But yes, it's greed.
Yep.
It's control.
Yep.
It's all of that stuff. This one is, how many throat punches would you give this one?
Probably like 3 or 4.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This one,
I just wasn't surprised. Like,
yeah,
I'm not, you know, throat punching because I know how bad they are going into it.
And there are some of the Duggar girls who speak out against their family in this one, which is really,
we're cheering for them.
Yes. It's really amazing.
Yeah.
And you really do get an inside scoop of what it was like.
Oh,
I mean, basically children forced to raise their siblings is what you're watching with a lot of other horrible things I won't spoil.
Yes.
But yeah.
Yeah.
It's a tough one. I will say this one was a little draggy.
Yeah, a little bit.
So this might be a good one to watch in like segments.
Mm-hmm.
But it's definitely worth the watch.
Yeah.
Okay. This last one, we have different opinions on.
What is it?
Mummy, Dead and Dearest.
Oh, we do.
This is on Max.
Mm.
We both think you should watch it.
It's really good.
But what I loved about it, Jamie hated. So we'll talk about that in a second. You can let us know which camp you're in.
Yeah.
Okay. In this documentary, the murder of Dee Dee Blanchard by her daughter, Gypsy Rose, is explored, as well as the circumstances leading up to the event.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This will have you questioning, like, you do go back and forth of how you feel about Gypsy.
That's the only place where you and I disagree, I think.
But this will have you questioning the whole idea, which is an excellent question. It's kind of like a philosophy moment where you're like, where do you blame the bad guy? Like, is it because of their environment, because they were abused and then they do a bad thing? Like, you will be asking yourself deep questions about that the whole time.
This is a very good example of how the victim becomes the perpetrator.
Yes.
And you can't, and I think this one does a good job of explaining how Gypsy Rose became the perpetrator.
Yes.
And why.
And you will spend time, I mean, it says right in the thing, I'm not spoiling anything. No. She murders her mother.
No, I mean, it's been on the news recently.
Yeah, there was a movie.
She just got out of jail.
So that's what happens. You will spend a lot of time going like, of course she would do that. And then, ooh, that makes me uncomfortable about it. Wait a minute. And then, of course she would do. And there's no doubt in your mind ever that her mother didn't deserve it, if you want to go there.
And how she was, like, she was failed over and over.
Doctors, police,
family.
Her family.
They all knew something was wrong.
Yeah.
And no one did anything about it.
Yep. So you will really feel a lot of feelings about Gypsy Rose. You will feel bad for her. You will root for her. You will question her.
You will cringe for her.
I mean,
some of this stuff from her Facebook.
Yeah.
It's so fucking cringy.
So what I like about it is that you keep doing things like, well, she was so sheltered and abused. How would she know? Like, of course she would behave weirdly like that. Of course the behavior wouldn't match the thing she did. Like,
correct.
You keep going back and forth, and then you keep going, but wait a minute. That doesn't fit. Like, I love that about this because I love those kind of questions about human behavior. Jamie, however, felt like her whole body was in a clenched fist the entire, like, that bothers you.
I never once didn't believe her or wasn't on her side, but she's just not like a super likable heroine, which is not her fault. Like, I realize I realize that that's a problematic viewpoint of myself, that like, because she's not behaving in a certain way, I don't want to empathize with her as much. I get that that's a me problem.
But it's not just a you problem. I'm actually reading a book about this. It's the Amanda Knox thing.
Yes.
Right? Where people didn't believe her because they didn't feel like her behavior matched
the situation. Exactly.
And this is a real thing. It's called a mismatch when people's don't reflect
your perception.
Yeah.
Right.
But you'll feel that with Gypsy Rose. Yes. So you're not the only one feeling that.
Right.
But it's the questioning of but how much is it okay, well, I can excuse that. And how much can I, and should we be excusing or not? Right. Like, that's the part to me that's interesting.
Well, I mean, she did time, so we didn't fully excuse it.
No, she did get out early.
Yep. But I mean, she did get married
in prison to someone who looks exactly like her mother.
Dude, watch this docuseries.
They don't say this in the docuseries. No, I think I saw it on TikTok.
No, I sent you a TikTok of it, and I was like, what the hell? They do a side-by-side on a TikTok of her current husband
and the mother she murdered.
Their faces look the same. It's like this Freudian extravaganza.
It's wild. It's wild. She married while in prison. I believe he's a teacher of children.
Is he?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. So, yeah. It's a, you got to watch it, but you're going to, it's not going to be a relaxing for your mind to watch. So it's going to really, if you need to be distracted by something in your life, this is a great distraction. It'll consume you.
Yeah. This is a three throat punch because of everyone that they interview. Yeah. And you're like, how did you?
There's literally a doctor that comes on and is like, I put it in my notes that this is, what is it?
Munchausen by proxy. They don't call it that anymore, but that's what it was.
Okay. But like, I didn't bother reporting it.
Because I knew no one would believe me. And I'm like, that's exactly what she was banking on. I mean, you're going to feel bad the lengths that the mother went to like incapacitate Gypsy Rose.
And
like
just, I mean, she couldn't even go anywhere without holding her mother's hand. Her mother would squeeze her hand if she said anything wrong. Like, it's so crazy. I mean, her mother
imagine having that much control over your kids. I tell my kids, like, shh. And they're like, what? They're like, do the opposite.
I can't get my kids to remember to make their bed every day. Yeah. So, yes. But, like, I mean, forced medical procedures she didn't need that will affect her for the rest of her life. She didn't know until she got to jail that she wasn't dying.
Exactly. Like, that's how, like, deep.
Yes. It's so disturbing and stuff. But then there'll be things that happen and that she does that you're like, yeah. And then the dad, it's so much. But go watch it and then tell us what you think.
God.
All right. I just have to quickly shout out a few.
We've talked about them a lot, but they're really good.
Just if you, they got to be on your list if they're not. I was actually thinking of rewatching some of them.
Mm-hmm.
So The Vow, which I've mentioned, that is Keith Raniere.
The Nexium cult.
Best one to understand. So you can understand how you'd get sucked into this cult.
Yeah, it's done as like a movie. It's like that good of a quality because of Mark Vincente.
Yeah, so good. Scientology in the Aftermath.
That's Leah Remini.
Amazing.
First ever, like, me too. Really, like, in it.
That's what pulled us into the obsession of cults. Yeah. Seduced, which is also Nexium.
That's India Oxenberg's version.
Excellent.
Like, that's her side of her her time in the Nexium cult.
And then Stolen Youth, which is the Sarah Lawrence one.
That one's really good. Crazy. I don't know how much we've spoken about it on here, but, like, I think about that one a lot because maybe it's because of the age of my kids, but it happens on a college campus and these kids are like pulled into a cult
basically from a dad of one of the other kids. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. And like their lives are destroyed.
Oh yeah. People on track to become amazing
doctors. Things. Like one was a doctor and now can't practice. Like it's shocking.
It is. And you'll also do the thing where you're like, why didn't anyone step in?
I know.
Yeah.
And when we were searching for colleges for my daughter, that came up on like a Google search. And
I was like, nope. Which is not,
it sucks for Sarah Lawrence.
I know. Like, it really wasn't the college's fault. I mean, they dropped the ball for sure. But like, it didn't have anything to do with the college.
It did not. It didn't. But
still, I would feel the same way.
It's bad PR, man.
It's really bad PR. Okay. So if anyone who is in any of these cults or documentaries wants to come on the podcast, including Gypsy Rose.
Imagine, yes.
Maybe not the creepy guy from Twin Flame.
I was just going to say, not
the woman invited. His wife can.
Yeah, he is not invited.
No, disinvited. Maybe we could try to go get some coffee now and see if we can channel Robin Williams' Galactic Council to give us some advice while we drink.
I need to establish a Galactic Council. Okay. By the way, if anyone ever uses the word galactic and they're not a fucking astronomer.
Or talking about Star Wars.
We'll walk away.
If someone's like, you know, my galactic council told me this, it's probably a red flag that they're not a great person.
Walk away.
Okay. Let's go talk to Robin Williams.
Okay.
Hey everyone, Heather and I have an ask for you. If you love this episode or if you love the IGG, can you do us a favor? We need you to go onto whatever platform you listen on and download, subscribe, like, love, whatever it's asking you to do. Can you go do those things for us on the platforms that you listen on? It would mean so much to us.
Thanks for listening to our episode. For a way to get in touch with us, please visit our website, intuitivegirlsguide.com. We love hearing your feedback on our episodes.